This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
لا يمنعن أحدكم مخافة الناس أن يتكلم بحق إذا علمه. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "None of you should allow your fear of people to stop you from speaking the truth, especially if you know it." In light of what's going on in Gaza and Palestine, this genocide has been going on for 3 weeks now, in which over 10,000 of our brothers and sisters have been martyred. It's important for us to remind ourselves of the qualities that we should have at times like this. And one of those qualities that I want to focus on today is shaja'a, courage. And we look at the people of Palestine as our role models of courage. We look at them as people who, in situation that most other people would give up, they have shown the utmost courage. And this has really shocked the enemy, because really what the tyrants are trying to do is to cause so much of damage and so much of bloodshed that they give up and they leave the country. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to demoralize them so that they leave. Instead, they cannot understand the faith, the patience, the tawakkul, the acceptance of Qadr, and the courage of the people that they are bombing. And we should look at the people of Palestine as our role models when it comes to courage. And yes, we are unable to physically assist them as a minority living in a very different part of the world. We are unable to physically assist the people of Palestine, but we can be courageous enough to at least assist them in the little ways that we can. If you know somebody is promoting Zionist propaganda, you should speak out against it. You should clarify the truth. You should be spreading the correct news and messages across the internet so that people become aware of what's really going on. You should use your voice and your social media and your positions of influence to get the true message of what is happening on the ground out to as many people as possible. And some people are afraid to do this. Some people are afraid that if they do this, they will end up on some kind of watch list, they will end up under surveillance, they may not get visas to travel to certain countries. They worry about the dunya consequences of speaking the truth. So today's reminder is a reminder to all of us that being courageous is a necessary part of being Muslim. Being courageous is a necessary part of being Muslim. The opposite of courage is cowardice. Think about the great heroes of Islam, the Anbiya, the Sahaba, any great hero in history. The majority of them were defined by their courage. They made sacrifices in this world for the sake of Allah. That is what defined them. Because this world is not even worth the wing of a mosquito in the sight of Allah. It's worth nothing. That yes, maybe because you spoke the truth, you may not get to travel to certain European countries that refuse to give you a visa. So what? So what? Jannah is more important than those countries. The truth is more important than those countries. We shouldn't allow these small things to stop us from speaking the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, when He describes the qualities of those whom He loves, one of the qualities that He mentions is وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. They are not afraid of the criticism that comes from the critics. And the scholars say this means that when you stand up for the truth, when you speak the truth, when you are a person of the truth, you will have enemies. You will have critics. You will have people who will try to put you down. But you have to stand firm. You should not be afraid of what they say or do in retaliation to you being a person of the truth. In this hadith that we quoted in the beginning of the khutbah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You should not allow your fear of people to stop you from speaking the truth if you know it." Notice that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If you know it," meaning we shouldn't be giving opinions just based on speculation. Our opinions should be based on firm facts or knowledge. If you have firm facts, if you have knowledge, then speak the truth. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Afdalu jihadin kalimatu haqqin inda sultani jair. The most virtuous form of jihad is to speak the truth in the face of a tyrant. The most virtuous form of jihad is to speak the truth in the face of a tyrant. Why? Because in the battlefield, at least in those days when people fought fairly, in the battlefield there's equal, right? You got a swordsman against a swordsman, an archer against an archer. But when you're speaking the truth to a tyrant, it's not equal. He has all the power. So that makes that an even higher level of striving for the sake of Allah. And all of these narrations and all of these verses remind us that we are supposed to be a nation of courage. And we have many, many examples of this in our history. When we look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the greatest role model of every good quality, including courage. You know, many of the leaders in history, they led from behind. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always on the front lines. He was willing to die for his message. And many people quote this as one of the proofs of prophethood, that a false prophet isn't willing to die for their message. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was willing to die for his message. If you look at one example, the Battle of Hunain. Right? In the Battle of Hunain, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had just conquered Makkah. He now had the largest army that he had ever had. And they marched into this forest to fight the people of Taif, unaware that the people of Taif had planned an ambush of them. There were archers hidden in the trees all across that valley, all throughout the forest, who surrounded the Muslims and opened fire on them. And in their panic, Muslims began to run away as arrows were coming from all sides. And when this was happening, as the Muslims were running away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got up onto a high platform where everyone could see him. And he stood tall and he began to say, "I am the prophet that is not a lie. I am the son of Abdul Muttalib." And he began to rally the people and chant, and he began to inspire the people with his words. And slowly, bit by bit, the Sahaba gathered around him and they reformed their army and they fought back and they eventually won the battle. But think about the courage it takes when the whole army is running away and arrows are raining down from all sides, to stand firm and to stand tall and to call people towards you and to remind people of the truth at that moment. That was the courage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is our ultimate role model when it comes to courage. But so were the Sahaba. The Sahaba, the ones who we look up to, they were all role models of true courage. Look at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was a shepherd. He did not belong to any of the major tribes of Makkah. He did not have the protection of the tribes of Makkah. Yet he decided to be the first Muslim to recite Quran openly in front of the Kaaba, knowing that he does not have tribal protection. He went in front of the Kaaba and he recited Surah Ar-Rahman. And for many of the people of Makkah, that was the first time that they heard the Quran. And in their panic that their people are hearing the Quran, the people are hearing Surah Ar-Rahman, the leaders of Makkah gathered around Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and they beat him. They beat him up, but he continued to recite even while they were beating him up. This is the courage of the Sahaba. If we look at Bilal radiallahu anhu, we don't even need to mention the story of Bilal. It is such a legendary story that we all know, that he was courageous in ways that we can't even understand. Sumayya and her husband Yasir, the first martyrs of Islam, their courage, when Abu Jahl had them and was torturing them and was willing to kill them unless they left Islam, yet they remained firm upon Islam until the very end and they were killed by Abu Jahl. This is the courage of the Sahaba. When Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu converted to Islam, and yes, Umar ibn Khattab is one of the greatest role models of courage. When he converted to Islam, at a time when people were converting secretly, when people were worried about what people are going to say, Umar radiallahu anhu goes to each of the leaders of the Quraysh, he goes to their house, he knocks on the door and he tells them, "I just wanted to inform you that I became a Muslim." And he walks away. And then he goes to the Kaaba and he informs all of the people, "I'm a Muslim." And people come to attack him, and of course being Umar, he fights back, he pushes them off. But the point is, look at the courage of this man. This is our model. When he goes for Hijrah, again, Hijrah was a time when Muslims would be sneaking out, right? Because you had to protect your family, you had to protect yourself, because there was weakness at that time. But again, Umar radiallahu anhu, the ultimate model of courage, he goes in front of the Kaaba and he warns his enemies that if you want your wife to become a widow and your children to become orphans, try and stop me. The courage of Umar radiallahu anhu. Our history and our legacy is a history of brave men and women who stood up for the truth no matter of the consequences. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that there were four women who attained perfection. One of those four women was the wife of the Pharaoh. The wife of the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh was the worst. Fir'aun was the worst tyrant in the history of this world. Even worse than the ones we are witnessing today. Yet his own wife stood up against him. And she proclaimed the truth. And she became a believer. And he tortured her and he tortured her. And in her final words, she made a dua to Allah. And her dua was, "Oh Allah, make me a neighbor of yours in Jannah. Give me a house close to you in Jannah." She didn't care about the dunya. Her focus was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the courage of the righteous. This is perfection of courage, right? That the wife of the Pharaoh was one of those women who attained perfection, even in her courage. We see the same with the magicians in the court of the Pharaoh. When they realized the truth, when they realized that Musa alayhi salam was a true prophet, immediately they made sajda and they say, "We bow to the Lord of Harun and Musa." And the Pharaoh told them that if you do this, I will cut off your right hands, I will cut off your left legs, I will crucify you and leave you there to die. And they said, "How can we go back from the truth when we've seen it? Do what you want to us." This was their response, "Do what you want to us." So my point today is that our religion is a religion that inspires courage. And we as Muslims, we need to be modeled of courage in every situation. We need to be people who are willing to speak the truth, who are willing to stand up for the truth, who are willing to defend the truth. We should not be cowardly. We should not be people who buckle under pressure. We should not be people who distort the message of Islam or whatever is going on in the world just to please others. Because the people before us, they made far greater sacrifices than us for the sake of this message. Look at all the great scholars in our history. All of them had moments in their life where they had to prove their courage. All of them, without exception, had moments in their life where they had to prove their courage. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, passed away in prison for refusing to buckle to political pressure. Imam Malik was beaten up and he was injured in prison for refusing to change a fatwa to suit the politicians. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was tortured for years for standing firm on the Aqidah of Islam. Every one of these scholars, they went through a trial where Allah was testing their courage. And in our times, we too will face such trials. So let us, when we look at our history, let us look at these models. Let us be inspired by them. Let us learn to be like them. Let us be people who are brave. Let us raise a generation that is courageous. Let us be the leaders of this world in courage. And if you want to look more closer to home for role models of courage, if you don't want to, if you think this is 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, no. Today in Gaza, you see your models of courage. All you have to do is look at the news and look at the people in Gaza and look at the children of Gaza and look at what they have to say. And you see true faith, true tawakkul, true acceptance of Qadr, true courage. These are our models and these are the people we should inspire to be like. And we ask Allah to grant us courage. We ask Allah to keep them steadfast and to grant them victory. And we ask Allah to remove the tyrants from the Middle East and to replace them with just rulers. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamu ala mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير حديث محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. In the Quran towards the end in Surah Buruj, there is a hint of a story about courage from a people who are facing genocide. If you read Surah Buruj, the story is hinted at. The actual full story is found in Sahih Muslim. And it's known as the story of the boy and the king. And we don't really have time to go through the full story like now. I'll give you the summarized version. but it's very relevant to what's going on in Gaza right now. Basically, it's a story of a tyrant ruler who wanted to get rid of the Muslim population, and they resorted to genocide. And in terms of dunya, it seemed like the tyrant had won. He killed all the Muslims. Literally, he killed all the Muslims. Yet at the end of the story, Allah says that those who killed the believers and did not repent ended up in the hellfire. And those who were killed in the path of Allah, they ended up in Jannah. And Allah says, that is the greatest victory. He says, that is the greatest victory. You see, we don't think only in terms of dunya. We don't think only in terms of worldly victory. In this world, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And it's important for us to keep that in mind, that our job is to make the effort. The results is in the hands of Allah. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. But the ultimate victory, the real victory that every Muslim should strive for, is Jannah, is paradise. And yes, sometimes righteous people in large numbers may lose their lives. And we may feel like, how can Allah allow this to happen? But it may be that Allah is taking them as martyrs so that they may enter Jannah without any reckoning, without having to account for any of their mistakes, with all of their sins forgiven. And that is what Allah wants for them. He wants to give them that status. So in the story that is mentioned, and I would highly recommend that you read the story, you'll find it in Sahih Muslim, you'll find it in Tafsir Ibn Kathir, in the Tafsir of Surah Buruj. So the story basically goes that about 300 years before the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a tyrant king in Arabia who wanted the people to worship him. So he had a magician who would basically do tricks to get the people to assume that their king is a god and to worship the king. And this magician grew old, so he trained a young boy to be his apprentice. But unknown to him, this young boy, he meets a monk, and he converts to what was the true religion of that time, the message of Jesus, peace be upon him. And he starts to preach this message to the people. And he starts to perform miracles. And the people start to believe and they start to accept the truth. And the king becomes aware of this and he tries to kill this boy. And every time they try to kill this boy, he is saved through a miracle. It's a very beautiful story. Go and read it in details. Every time they try to kill this boy, he's saved through a miracle. Until the boy tells him of how he would be able to kill him. And the boy tells the king, you need to put me in court in front of the entire city. And take a bow and arrow and say, in the name of Allah, the Lord of this boy, and then shoot me. Only if you do this, I'll die. And so the king did that, and the boy died. But when the people of the city realized that the king could not kill the boy except in the name of Allah, the entire city accepted the truth. The entire city stopped worshipping the king and started worshipping Allah. And the king, now in his desperation to be worshipped, he committed a genocide against his own people. He built a trench and he filled it with fire. And each person in the city was given a choice to reject the truth and worship the king or to be thrown into the fire. And every single person chose to die for the sake of Allah rather than to go back to kufr. And yes, an entire city was wiped out. An entire community was massacred because they chose to believe in Allah. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that they had the greatest victory. That those people who died for the sake of Allah, those who were willing to stand firm on what they believe until their souls left their body, they had the greatest victory. Because victory is not some temporary success in this world. It's not money. It's not power. It's not control over lands. All of this comes and goes. All of this comes and goes. There was a time when Muslims ruled over Spain. That time is gone. There was a time when Muslims ruled over India. That time is gone, right? Power and money, it comes and goes. What is real victory? Real victory is the pleasure of Allah and the entrance into Jannah. So do not feel disheartened for the people of Gaza. But understand that Allah has chosen them to be the models for the rest of the world. That when we look at the people of Gaza, we understand what real striving for the sake of Allah is. When we look at the people of Gaza, we understand what a martyr is. When we look at the people of Gaza, we see and understand what is true faith, what is true tawakkul, what is true sabr, what is true acceptance of Allah's qadr, what is resistance, what is resiliency, what is optimism. We see all of these qualities in these people, and we should be inspired by them to be more like them, because they are the models of true faith. And those who think that they are better than them, this is delusional. A Muslim should never think you are better than anyone else. That is kibr, that is arrogance. But rather, these people are our model, and that's why Allah has chosen them to have a tougher trial than us. You know, there's this misunderstanding going around that Allah is punishing that group. We do not have the right to say Allah is punishing this people or that people. But understand that the Prophet ﷺ said that those who are closest to Allah will have the toughest trials in this world. Those who are closest to Allah will have the toughest trials in this world. So someone sitting comfortably in South Africa, thinking that Allah is pleased with him, is judging people who are facing the toughest trials with tawakkul and sabr in the other end of the world. Ask yourself, who is the one who's being described in this hadith as being close to Allah? Who's the one facing the tougher trials? Facing trials in this world is not a sign of Allah's punishment. It's not a sign of Allah's anger. If anything, it's a sign that Allah is pleased with you. Was Allah punishing the people of the trench? Was Allah punishing them when the king massacred them? No. That was their victory. That was their martyrdom. That was their entrance into Jannah. So be very careful of these ideas that are spreading in our community. Be very careful of these misunderstandings of the religion. The people of Palestine are in the front lines of defending the truth, of defending the religion, of defending the holy lands. And we should stand by their side. We should be brave. We should be courageous in speaking the truth, in speaking up for them, in countering any propaganda that is spread against them, whether it comes from outside or even when it comes from the Muslims. Because there are Muslims among us who are spreading lies about them as well.
Yes.
And we must counter this. We must speak out against this. Yes. We must not remain silent when they are being... When this is something that really boils my blood. That the people of Palestine are being massacred by the enemies of Islam, and they're being judged by the Muslims at the same time. Think about this. How messed up is this? That instead of helping our brothers and sisters, we are judging them and calling them sinners and saying that they are being punished by Allah. May Allah protect us and forgive us and guide us all.
Amen.
We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant victory to the people of Palestine. We ask Allah to remove all of the tyrants from the Muslim world and to restore peace and dignity and power and the khilafah to the Muslim world. And we ask Allah to end the trials faced by the people of Palestine and to accept all of the martyrs of Palestine and to make them from those who He is most pleased with, and to forgive us for our weakness and our inability to assist them, and to accept from us whatever small efforts we have done to try and assist them. اللهم انصر مجاهدينا في فلسطين اللهم انصر مستضعفين في فلسطين اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اقم الصلاه